We are studying the letter of 1 Corinthians. Paul established the church at Corinth on his second missionary journey in about 50 A.D. About 5 years later, he received news that the church was having problems. So he wrote the letter of 1 Corinthians in about 55 A.D. to deal with 11 problems in the church at Corinth. The first problem he deals with is the problem of internal divisions, schisms, dissensions. The problem is stated in chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, especially verse 12. It says, "I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, 'I follow Paul.' Another, 'I follow Apollos.' Another, 'I follow Cephas.' And still another, 'I follow Christ.'" Paul deals with this problem by first addressing the absurdity of it. In verse 13 through 17, he asked three questions which beg for a negative answer with an exclamation point. Question one, is Christ divided? Absolutely not. Question two, was Paul crucified for you? No, and it would not do you any good if he was. Question three, were you baptized into the name of Paul? Of course not. Christians are baptized in the name of the triune God, and that baptism is a pledge of ownership and allegiance. When a person is baptized, he is saying, "I belong to Jesus Christ. My allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ." Next, Paul moves on to the message of the gospel. He argues that the message of the gospel does not promote these internal divisions. First of all, he says the message does not play into the hands of the worldly wise, the philosopher, the scholar, the intellectual. It is a message about a cross and a crucified Savior, and that is foolishness to the worldly wise man. Secondly, he says the message does not play into the hand of the spectacular sign-seeking Jew who craved a demonstration of power. It does not play into the hand of the power broker. To that person, the message of the cross and a crucified Savior is weakness. And thirdly, he says the message of the cross is to those who believe it, the wisdom of God and the power of God unto salvation. It is for those who believe, and it is by the initiative of God, so it does not promote internal divisions. All who are saved one way, and all being saved the same way unifies rather than divides. Today, we come to chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Here, Paul deals with the converts of the gospel and why the converts themselves have no reason to divide up into divisions. What is it about the converts themselves that argues against internal divisions in the church? Well, first of all, the converts of the gospel are just ordinary people, not especially wise or mighty or noble, of noble birth. Verse 26 says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful, and not many were of noble birth. In the world, people make their way by their physical appearance, their social status, their achievements, their natural heritage, their power, or the size of their bank accounts. These are the things that commend people in the world and help them to get on. None of those things can commend us to God. God is not impressed by physical appearance, intelligence, social status, achievements, heritage, or the size of our bank accounts. The things which elevate men in the world, such as knowledge, influence, rank, money, and power, are not the things which lead to God and eternal salvation. If we could get to God and obtain eternal salvation by those things, then that would promote divisions in the church. People would divide up around those things. They do anyway, but it is because we get it all wrong. Because those things are insignificant in the eyes of God. Those things promote human pride, and God hates human pride. And human pride is the root cause of divisions in the church. Paul is saying that the converts to Christ have nothing to be proud about with regard to their salvation, because salvation does not come by means of the things that promote human pride. Paul says, in effect, look around at your congregation. Look around at your fellow believers and consider your own selves. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. Selina, who was the Countess of Huntingdon in England in the 18th century, is in Christian circles a famous woman. She was a lady of nobility. And she helped the Wesleys, John and Charles. And she helped many other Christians when she lived. And it was said, and it was she who said, "I thank God for the letter M in many," in the text, in 1 Corinthians 1:26. It says, "not many of noble birth." It does not say, "not any." And she was a noble lady. She was saying that she got saved because it says, "not many." Most converts to Christ are just ordinary people who don't have anything to boast about according to worldly standards. And God has called us and chosen us. Secondly, the converts were called of God and converted to Christ for a purpose that is antithetical to this spirit of division and dissension. Verse 27 through 29 says, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." Do you see what that says about God's purpose? God chose a way of salvation that devastates human pride. God is out to crush the arrogance of the proud. God opposes the proud, and He is determined that no flesh shall boast in His sight. The lost world admires nobility, social rank, wealth, power, and recognition. None of these things will get you anywhere with God. God chose the foolish, the weak, the lowborn, and the despised to show the proud world that He does not need human wisdom or power or wealth. Do you remember the story of Gideon? The angel of the Lord appeared to him while he was beating out wheat in the winepress at Ophrah to hide it from the Midianites, and told him to go and save Israel from the Midianites. Gideon mustered together an army of 32,000 men, and the Lord said, "That is too many." So Gideon offered to let some of them go home, and 22,000 did go home. He was left with an army of 10,000. The Lord said to Gideon, "That is still too many." So he cut it down to 300 men. The camp of Midian was in the valley, and the army of the Midianites was enormous, like locusts in abundance. Gideon and his 300 men confronted the Midianites in the middle of the night with trumpets and jars and torches. And the Lord sent confusion into the camp, and the army began to fight against itself and fled. So the enormous army of Midian was defeated by Gideon and his 300 men with trumpets and jars and torches. Why did God do that? He did it so that Israel could not boast in her own wisdom and strength and resources. He did it so that everyone would have to recognize that Israel was delivered only by God. He did it so that no one could take credit for it but God alone. God wants to demolish human pride. In order to do that, He grants His salvation to humble, simple people. And they stand as a living testimonial to the world that salvation is all of God's grace. And grace does not promote divisions in the church. It was this sinful attitude of pride that was causing divisions in this church at Corinth. But Paul is showing those converts that they really had no reason to be proud. That brings me to the third and the last point. What the converts of the gospel have is Christ Jesus. Verse 30 says, "And because of God you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption." We are in Christ, who is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. We are inside the circle of the ones who are saved and have eternal life. We are there because God is the source of our life in Christ. We didn't figure out how to get to God by our own wisdom. Christ is our wisdom. We don't have any righteousness of our own. Christ is our righteousness. We cannot sanctify ourselves, but Christ is our sanctification. His Spirit is at work inside of us, transforming us into His own likeness in righteousness. We cannot redeem ourselves, but Christ is our redemption. He paid the price with His own blood to redeem us out of the marketplace of slavery to sin. And one day our salvation will be complete by the redemption of our bodies, which is glorification. I think that is what he is getting at here with righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. With those three things corresponding to justification, sanctification, and glorification. We are in Christ so that we are part of the body of Christ right along with these other people that we are dividing up against. It makes no sense to be in Christ only because of God's grace and to divide up against other people who are also in Christ only because of God's grace. God saves only those who are humble enough to turn to Jesus Christ. And He is constantly and deliberately bringing proud people to their knees so that they can enter His presence in repentance and faith. Paul reminded them and us too that the only thing we can boast in is in the Lord. That's how he closes out this section in verse 31. Verse 31 says, "So that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." It is part of a quote from Jeremiah 9:23-24. This is what the Lord says, "Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord." We have nothing to boast in but the Lord. We have done absolutely nothing to gain our salvation by our own wisdom or power or anything else. God has done it all for us. It is all of God. That's what it is about the converts of Christ that argues against internal divisions in the church. Let us pray.